The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
According to the latest central bank data, there's been a surge in the number of Irish millionaires in the last 8 years. How is it that household wealth is calculated? And would this increase in wealth mean we're somewhat insulated from any potential recession in the near future? Well, I'm joined now by lecturer in economics at UCC, Seamus Coffey. Seamus, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, when I see stories like this, I often wonder, you know, are all the millionaires living in places where houses are too damned expensive?
Yes, I think that, as with all these headlines, it is worth giving a bit of a scratch under the surface to see what the key driver is. And yes, you're absolutely right. The largest component of this is housing assets, the houses which people live in, and also it includes the sites on which those houses are built. And that is by far the largest asset owned by the Irish household sector. And as we know, the price, the nominal value of those housing assets has increased very significantly over the last 7 or 8 years. So that is the key driver. There are increases in other assets, and there's also reductions in debt. But if you want to say, like, what is the key element of this, it would be households that own significant housing assets.
Now, when you say assets, in many cases, it's asset, singular. It's the one house, it's the house they live in, the house they cannot sell because they got to live somewhere. And historically, it may have been worth tuppence halfpenny, but now, because of, you know, gentrification and all the rest, it's suddenly worth over 1 mil.
Yes, this isn't like the case that people have €1 million sitting somewhere and they can go and splash it and spend it and have a lifestyle we might associate with the millionaire lifestyle or the lifestyle of spending €1 million. This is the assets that people own, the assets that people have. It's a measure of the balance sheets. And yes, when it comes to housing assets, you're looking at people who have bought houses possibly at much lower values than what they're worth now. And it's just the value has risen. They haven't really done anything over the preceding decades. And that sort of gives one key driver of some of the differences we see in this data. Like, who are the millionaire households that these 12% worth more than 1 million? In the main, it's older households. They've bought their houses, they've repaid their mortgages or reduced their liabilities and built up maybe other forms of savings. They might have money on deposit in banks, or in the case of maybe the self-employed, they could have built up pension savings. Whereas those at the other end, of course, will be younger, who simply haven't had the time to build up assets. In time, many of those younger people will do that. They work through their lives and they want to get to a position where they're 60 or 65 and can look forward to 20 years of retirement. So there is a huge difference between somebody of 65 who has worked, or a household at 65, who have built up those assets, who have built up pension savings and are looking to live off that for the next 20 years, versus somebody who's 25, who's just starting off at work, clearly hasn't had time to build up assets. So there's a huge spread there. Some of those 25-year-olds will move up into the top categories as they get towards 65, but there also is significant inequality there. Some people are never going to have a house that is worth €1 million. A lot of it is down to location, and some of it is down to luck.
We're also reading, though, that the inequality wealth gap is actually narrowing. We're doing better.
Yeah, so like the central bank have done analysis of the distribution of this wealth, and they found that standard measures of inequality have fallen over the last 7 or 8 years. And again, you're going back to why is this? A lot of it is driven, again, by housing. Like, we have a home ownership rate of around 70%. Go back 7, 8 years ago, we'd have had a lot of households in negative equity. And they might be home-owning households, but given that they're in negative equity, they have negative wealth, they are right down at the bottom of the wealth distribution. Mm. They have a minus number. And that would be the case for a significant share of households back in 2013. But as you go over the preceding years, house prices have risen. Those families and households might have reduced their mortgages somewhat, but clearly the house prices have risen. They have now left negative equity. And that has caused a significant narrowing of the gap between those households, which were in negative numbers right down at the bottom, have now maybe moved up along the distribution. That has reduced inequality. But there has been sort of maybe a widening of the gap maybe when it comes to certain assets, financial assets. Like, in Ireland, we have very significant savings built up. But you have to look at who has been doing the savings. And again, you're possibly looking at older households, those households that have their mortgages paid off over the past 2 or 3 years. They've probably built up very significant deposits. You're also looking at what the central bank called business equity. This would be particularly the self-employed running their own businesses. maybe the value of those has gone up. And again, that's a group of people who would only be doing that particular activity. And then finally, if you look at pension savings, and it's possibly worth noting the type of pension savings the central bank are including in this analysis. This is a balance sheet approach, so it actually does need an asset to be there. So if you're self-employed or setting up your own private pension, there is an asset that the central bank can count. You've put money into a pension scheme, you've put money into a pension account, it is building up, and those assets are pretty significant for the household sector. You're looking at possibly close to $200 billion. But what wouldn't be included is those who are in occupational pension schemes or those in public sector pension schemes where there's no assets. So in the public sector, you're working along, you're building up pension entitlements, but the government isn't setting the money aside. You're not setting the money aside. You expect to get the money when you're retired.
Those people, if you're a senior civil servant and you're on a couple of $100,000 a year, you're going to retire at $100,000 a year. You can retire maybe at 60 if you've done your 40 years, starting at 18 maybe in the civil service. You're going to live until you're 90. Even when you die, if you have a younger spouse, they get half of your pension, in other words, quarter of your salary, until they pass on. And not alone that, it'll be index linked to the grade in the civil service and what they're being paid at any given time. I mean, you are, whether you think it or not, you are a millionaire. You're a millionaire if you're in the civil service at a reasonably high rank.
And you will live that long life you spoke about and perhaps have the younger spouse. Absolutely, that is a hugely valuable asset. But in this analysis, the central bank essentially can't include it because there isn't an asset there to count, there isn't an asset there to put on the balance sheet. But somebody, that person you refer to at 65, they can enjoy a life of relatively high income based on the pension entitlements they've built up. So that wouldn't be included. So there is a lot included in the analysis here, but some of the inequality is driven by age. People simply haven't had the opportunity to save. Some of it is driven by what we just spoke about there, some assets not being included, those pension entitlements that people have built up that the government will pay from its day-to-day accounts. And there is also significant inequality out there. Some people have assets that have risen in value. They've benefited from location of housing. And that creates a disparity between those at the lower end of the distribution and those at the top end, who can be many, many times greater.
And yet Seamus, you can have people who are asset rich. In other words, they have the house and they've no money to spend. They're actually,
absolutely, that's going back to the point we made earlier.
They're
the key driver of this.
Yeah.
Like you're looking at net wealth in Ireland is in or around €1 trillion, a pretty significant amount. But if you just look at the asset side of it, like what assets are the central bank putting into this? They have €600 billion of housing assets included. So that's the key driver is that the 70% of households who own their own home. It would also include households that own second properties, including investment properties or holiday homes, etc. But clearly the big driver of this is homes, and that's not a liquid asset. And as you said, people need somewhere to live, and they're not really maybe doing anything to cause a change in the value of that asset. So like, it's not the case of that there's 200,000 households around here living a millionaire lifestyle.
Yeah.
In a financial balance sheet analysis as undertaken by the central bank, there might be 200,000 plus households with a financial net wealth of more than a million, but you're not going to see them around the place.
Two other things. One is, if we do have some sort of recession, if there is some sort of resetting, readjustment in the housing market as they're predicting for the UK, it could mean, but I don't anticipate seeing this headline anytime soon, number of millionaires falls.
It potentially could. But we are in a, like in overall terms, the economy is in a pretty reasonably strong position. And if a lot of this wealth is based on housing assets rising in value, and that's not impacting people's lifestyles, well, a certain reduction or correction of house prices for many households wouldn't have much of an impact. Now, if you're a recent purchaser and have taken out a mortgage, you'd be unhappy to see things like negative equity arise, but I don't think we're likely to see anything anywhere near the scale that we saw 15 years ago. In fact, most of the predictions of house prices at the moment, at least anyway, tends to be that we need a moderation in growth. That 15% per annum growth rates we're seeing at the moment simply can't continue, and that has to slow down. But we're not seeing yet too many forecasts of outright reductions.
Yeah.
Now, that could change. But we're not yet seeing that at the moment. So, and the financial balance sheet of the household sector has improved significantly. Like the number of households that could potentially be in negative equity is much, much smaller. The central bank have rules in place about how much can be borrowed. Yes, they've announced adjustments to them, but they won't come into play until next year, early next year. And if you look at the liability side of the household balance sheet, back at the end of the last credit bubble, 2008, households in overall terms had debts of just over 200 billion. So we'd borrowed a huge amount of money. The latest figures from the central bank show that is now down to 130 billion. And almost that has been repayments. And what's sort of maybe quite notable is just how strong the economy has performed when we're taking all that money out of it. Like, you can consider the bubble and the boom of the Celtic Tiger when all that borrowing poured in and the employment it created. But actually, in the last 5 or 6 years, we've had a very strong economy as households have been taking that money out to repay their debts, and banks haven't been lending a large part of that out. So in overall terms, we're actually not in a bad position. We're actually, a country as a whole is saving money. We are, in the words of a former Taoiseach, living within our means, or to swing around the words of a former Taoiseach, whereas previously we'd have been living outside our means. And of course, that led to significant problems in the 1980s, in 2008. So we're not actually in a bad shape now, but clearly there are concerns out there, prices, inflation, and maybe job cuts in certain sectors.
Yeah. I mean, if inflation were to continue, everyone would be a millionaire in terms of owning property before too long. But the question is, we're going to need another metric, really, because a million is not what it used to be, I'm afraid, Seamus.
Yeah, and particularly if it's in an asset that is not liquid and it's just something you live in or you own. If it's pension savings, again, you don't have access to that until you're retired. If it's the value of your business that you're a self-employed person in, like if it's a farm or another business you're running, you want to keep running the business, and you're not going to sell the asset, at least in the near term. You're going to continue to work until you perhaps get near to retirement. So I think it must be recognised what this is. This is a good, careful analysis of the balance sheet of the household sector, but it's not necessarily reflective of the lifestyles of the household sector.
Seamus, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That's Seamus Coffey, lecturer in economics at UCC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.